Hello, my name is Jonathan. I'm from Superflex. This is Jakob and Rasmus. We've been asked to present several of our projects, so we will go through them as fast as possible so you get some ideas about the way we work. We've worked together for now 12 years, I think, and we started here at the Art Academy. We like to talk about our work as being tools. Tools can be an object, a method, a concept, an idea, or a model. And these tools can work on different levels. Some can work within the art context primarily, others can also work within other, say, economic, social, or political structures. And all dependent on the uses and the implementation of these tools, it then has an effect or a consequence within them. One of the first projects that we will talk about, the first tools, is called Super Channel. It was started back in 1999 with the, let's say, possibility of using the new space of the internet. And we particularly found it challenging to try to look at the way media was produced, particularly TV and radio and so forth. And we were very critical towards the whole relationship between a producer and a viewer. This is quite a passive relationship. So we wanted to, with the internet and the tools that were possible somehow, we wanted to challenge that and change the viewer into a user and also a participant. And we were lucky to meet an American programmer who had worked for Real Networks and Microsoft, and we told him we would like to do internet TV broadcasting, to be able to archive, have chat interaction, and so forth. The first experiment, also wanted to focus on that it should be very, very simple using the lowest level of technology. The first experiment was done in an art space called 1% in Copenhagen. What we did was that we made a schedule on the window where everybody could sign up. We invited the people in who we had contacts to, but also made a press announcement and so forth. But everybody could come into the space and participate. And there were a lot of, let's say, music-related productions. There were a lot of art experiments. There were psychologists trying to work with this new tool, and also trying to define the way that you could actually interact with each other through that you had the possibility of having chat and so on. Later on, and that, for example, they have one example of one guy who was very interested in the, let's say, performing part and the aspect of having millions and millions of viewers at the same time, which of course is not really the fact with the internet. It's mostly about people who share the interests, who then interact and participate. And this was an interesting experiment. We then decided to move on to make it propose and implement it into different structures, other, could say, political or social structures, where we could see an immense reason to have your own media. And we were invited by an arts organization in Liverpool called FACT, the Foundation for Arts Creative Technology, and they wanted us to do a work in some of the 60 tower blocks of Liverpool. And most of the tower blocks were at that time, the debate was going to be whether they were going to be knocked down or refurbished. So there was a lot of uncertainty among the tenants who were also primarily between 60 and 90 years old. You can imagine they've been living there for 40 years and not all of a sudden not knowing if they're going to be kicked out or if they were going to stay. So we decided together with the tenants to implement a studio into one of the community flats. They have a simple setup with couches and the simple equipment and a place where you could make tea and so forth. And the tenants slowly then took over through training sessions and so on. He also said that the organization, in fact, were really, really good at understanding the whole process of the project, like having people, employing people to work with the tenants, keeping a close contact constantly. And slowly the tenants, again, who were, some of them were younger, yeah, but most of them in the block were actually quite old, they slowly learned the technology somehow, and also became producers. They used it to discuss their current situation about the uncertainty about if they were going to be knocked out or not. They also used it to drove into restaurants nearby and said they came from Super Channel. They would like to make a review of the restaurant and food, that they had free food and so forth, which was a fantastic way of using it. But it also became a tool where some of the tenants often talk about that the turning point for them was that at some point they had the possibility of inviting the, could say, people who were in charge of the refurbishment and so on, that the possibility of putting them on the couch and at the same time asking them direct questions. Both the tenants from the other tower box through the internet, also the tenants in the studio. And everything was archived. So basically the things that you would say in this on this couch, this guy, the head guy would then be archived. And he would then have to somehow be responsible for the voice that he would say. So this is one example. Later on, developed further into a channel called Tenants Spin, also in Liverpool. It was the whole organization of tenants in this area. And they decided to have their own studio and their own channel. And they started in the year 2000, and they still continue. Just like to show you a video, because there was a lot of media attention and still is on this project, and BBC has made a small introduction to the project.
By the decline in sea transport in the 1970s, the city has seen a massive program of regeneration in recent years. But for most people living in tower blocks outside the city centre, regeneration is still a distant dream. Now their own internet TV channel is empowering some of the tenants. It's giving them new skills and a forum for discussing issues affecting them. The Housing Action Trust, or HAT, is demolishing some of Liverpool's 67 ageing tower blocks. Entire communities will be rehoused, putting the most elderly residents at risk of social exclusion.
The whole style of Liverpool's changing as these tower blocks are demolished and new builds are created.
That one, the middle one, and I live on the 8th storey.
Backed by more than 10 agencies, a number of Liverpool's tenant communities have been supplied with a computer and have joined the Super Channel online network. It's an ambitious plan to combat social exclusion.
Anybody that needs it can get it through the, there's a key in the cupboard. So if they want it, they can come in.
An internet connection offers tenants a way to keep in touch.
You know, with the chat and everything else, you also fit. Each week, you say, oh, this or so on, and you send them a message.
But tenants also have a more radical use for the technology. HAT's downtown offices have a studio where residents run their own television channel on the internet. It broadcasts live to community centres, in fact, to anyone in the world with an internet connection.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Tenants Spin.
Tenant Spin is a channel transmitted on the internet-based Super Channel, a website for communities to start their own web channel and produce their own internet TV. More than 30 different communities use it. Liverpool's HAT tenants produce the programmes themselves. Subjects include sports, game shows, and even the odd Elvis lookalike. But today's show is a discussion of how technology has changed their world.
Profile as a type of intelligent means to what people at the level they want to be involved in.
Viewers respond directly to the points raised. Their questions are written on a board for the panel to answer.
It does develop a sense of community around the users, around the audience and the participants and the people who are actually delivering the shows.
I've had a video camera from about 1990 and I've done all my own little home movies and things like that. I just enjoy it. I'm still learning, as you've seen on the camera, and things like that, but, you know, I've learned something about the computer.
A fear of isolation.
is much greater than any field of technology.
The only real drawback with the system is picture quality, which is kept low so any computer can receive it, but it does give a helping hand to the city's aspiring lookalikes.
So in the currently, I think there are 35 different channels, and all of them we are in close contact with, discussing the, let's say, concept, like the content they want to produce. But basically, they are all independent. Also, they are in charge of producing the content. What has been very important for us is to each time set up a physical frame which actually looked like a studio, and which also worked for each of the communities. Because most of these groups we choose to work with are people who share some interest and have a direct need of having their own media within a, could say, local political situation. And some of them have started moving around, visiting each other, and creating different types of physical networks also. And there are several examples of them. Where we have had our own studio in Blågårdsgade in Copenhagen. We established one in Thailand together with some Thai artists, and they produce local content telling about Thai art. There's one in Torino, which was young immigrants from Morocco and so forth who were telling their own stories. Another channel in Bangkok, and one in Krakow in Kolding, where it was school kids who would develop their own studio, design it and so on. So, and we since we've been invited so many different places around, we often use the kind of possibility of doing an exhibition somewhere to enable a group who we find interesting or who approach us, then enable them with the economy that is given for a specific art production. That's examples here of with the Modern Institute in Glasgow doing a channel in Edinburgh, where we set up a studio. One in Vienna, just after Jakarta was elected, we set up a studio where we worked together with the local organizations in creating a platform to discuss the current nationalist movements in Europe. And the same time we did broadcast in Copenhagen about the same issues. I think we'll just step on to the next project called the Guadalajara Power. Some of you may know it. It's a project that we were invited by the Brazilian arts organization, the government of the Amazon, and also an organization called MIFCA, and they invited us to do research in the Amazon, in the Brazilian Amazon. One day one day there was a group of Guarana farmers. Guarana is a caffeine native berry, who came to us and talked about the issues of the drop of the raw material prices of Guarana, similar to coffee. And they didn't know how to deal with that situation. There's a few huge companies who basically control the prices. And we then together but then decided to make some workshops to discuss different strategies and methods. We had already then worked with several ideas about developing counter-economic strategies using design or using the raw material of brands. In the same way you can use the raw material of farmers, you can also turn it all around and use the raw material of brands. And we presented them with several different examples. And they then came back to us with different ideas about using Guarana in chocolates and in sodas and in the different shapes. Some proposed to use it as similar to a Nescafe and so forth. And then slowly some of them proposed that we would make a direct action against the biggest soda company who were the ones who were responsible for the drop in prices, called Guarana Antarctica, and you can also buy them here in Denmark. It's South America's biggest soda. And we then agreed on working with that problem, and we were then invited to participate at the Venice Biennale. And again, using the possibility, the public space of the arts and also of the Venice Biennale, we then decided to present this project at the Venice Biennale. And we were lucky to meet up again with a with a person in Denmark who had the skills of producing sodas, syrups, and so on. And he then, together with us, decided to copy the, more or less copy the taste of the other one. And then also we then developed the labels, the design, and also in exchange with the farmers via fax and so on. So the Venice Biennial was set up a whole production setting, showing how we could produce, how we could distribute the soda. And you can see here. We've done a few presentations of it at Chiasma in Los Angeles, and each time developing the project further and further and further. Finally, with the aim, of course, of ending up with an actual product, which would then be distributed. You see here, the bottle has changed the sign. But we also made a lot of these confrontations about copyrights and so on. And there are certain things that you cannot say as a company or say as a brand. But at the same time, we still believe that it's important also to use products and so forth to bring forward your political issues and so on. And what we decided particularly here was to make a counter-economic proposal. And this is just to show exhibition setting. And then we went back to Brazil to discuss with the farmers about the taste, the design and so on, and they had some changes. And we then, together with them, decided also to make some advertisements. This is just to show that we then, after what's going to be special for us. And again, just to show you, there are different places we presented this. So we've been at the food fairs, we presented it at the Bella Center. There's been a lot of media on this project, so we've also worked on that level. Just to show you, there are also different context of the project. Next to bars presenting their products using a Formula One car, we then used a different type of language and aesthetics, and working closely with the Super Bowl, a local distributor. So now the Golden Power is then in distribution in Denmark and also slowly being produced. We're trying to implement it into different other places. And of course, Brazil is the next place to implement it also. And it has developed further and further. Actually, now also through Super Bowl, it's been, you can buy it at 7-Eleven. We'll just give you a short film here.
Estava numa fazenda. E o vaqueiro estava tentando pegar um touro muito bravo, né? E ele então não sabia como segurar o touro. E de repente o touro parte para cima dele, que vem com tudo, né? Vem para pegar ele e joga ele com o chifre. Mas o que ele fez? Né? Tomou o guaraná. E de repente o touro sai para cima, ele pega o touro e torce o touro. E joga, é todo mundo joga.
And this guy is the head of the organization we work with in Brazil, so he's one of the farmers. We went there and together with him we discussed different strategies and they proposed just to tell some stories, which I think is a nice way of promoting it also. And currently, the level we are now is that the level we are now is that we are organizing the project in a foundation called the Power Foundation. So each time you buy a power, one Danish kroner goes into the foundation. And together with the farmers, that's a decision made on how the money is then spent and used locally there or for implementing it into Brazil and so forth. I think there are several ways we have promoted it and so forth. And there's been a huge support in the cultural field in Denmark, but also abroad. Just on to the next project.
This is slightly different, but it's also sort of within the context of like beverages. It comes out of basically all these problems that we've been having with various kinds of intellectual property, meaning copyright, problems with other companies. And some years ago we did a copy of a famous Danish lamp, the PH5 lamp, and we showed that in an exhibition. The lamp was copied so that it works with the biogas system we've made. It was copied in Bangkok. And we were very surprised to find that the company with sort of was producing the real lamp sued us and wanted basically to close this exhibition that we were showing the lamps in. And this is maybe kind of a little bit naive from the point of like working within the field of art, but you think that you have freedom of speech and that this also goes within this context that Simon was talking about, meaning that like the white walls of the museum. And then when you sort of meet this real life world of copyright law, then you find out that actually you don't have this. And whenever you sort of work with things that looks like patented or copyrighted products, there are very strict limitations of what you can do. Basically built on these problems, we had a kind of a job at the IT University in Copenhagen, and we decided to make these problems like the focus of our teaching job there. And so the theme of our lectures were like copyright. And basically the reason for this was that within the kind of digital world, computers and software, these discussions are very sort of upfront because you can copy digital things very easily. And there are very sort of developed methods of legalizing the right to copy. And a lot of these methods are sort of have ended up with things as the operating system Linux that you probably heard about, or the open source movement. So we thought about as a kind of, you know, taking back the values of all this experience that has been going on in this world and applying it on something that was analog. And there's this famous speech from the founder of the Free Software Foundation, Richard Stallman, that free software is not a matter of liberty. It is a matter of liberty, not price. And to understand the concept, you should think of free as in free speech, not as in free beer. So we thought it was sort of appropriate to choose beer as an experiment of trying to make these strategies and licenses work in the analog world. So we, together with the students, started brewing beer in the student cafeteria and sort of publicized the idea on the web. This is from the brewing process. And then after a while, like publicizing this website, it sort of went kind of crazy. And this was not meant as a in such a way that it was taken serious, or kind of to the level that it was taken serious. And it went through like all kinds of websites, newspapers, the New York Times, BBC, and this is just an example of the kind of the level that we were up to, like Premier and Bin Laden and Lawrence, what's his name? This Jamie Oliver. And it sort of, it was like just going mad with the various kinds of people discussing it. And it's, we realized that, well, that's interesting that, I mean, we brewed like 50 liters of beer and it ended up like a, and the reason for doing it was, of course, to sort of focus on all these problems of copyright and so forth. So in that sense, just to sort of end up with our presentation here, we've had
Det, der begyndte som et projekt på IT-universitetet, et projekt om ophavsret, er blevet til øllets svar på krigen mellem Microsoft og gratisprogrammet Linux.
Vores øl hedder mig, men ikke den fra Carlsberg. Nej, her taler vi virkelig om en folkebager. For ølet her kan hvem som helst brygge, hvis ellers de har store rødder.
6 kilo pistermalt, 4 kilo østermalt.
Opskriften ligger på internettet, og det er netop humlen i den historie, at alle skal kunne brygge den kvidt og frit.
Så
skal bare gå ind og lave her, det er ret nemt faktisk. Man kan købe alle råvarer på apoteket, og så bare have stor gryde, så kører det for dig.
Vores øl er blevet til på IT-universitetet i København i samarbejde med kunstnergruppen Superflex, inspireret af kampen om styresystemer i computerverdenen.
I stedet for at patentere og lukke inde, som for eksempel Microsoft gør, så er man åben med sin kildekode. Man offentliggør, hvordan man har skruet ting sammen,
som Linux har gjort.
Som for eksempel styresystemet Linux har gjort en stor succes. Og det vi så gerne ville, det var at tage de erfaringer og overføre dem på øl.
Og det hjalp gevaldigt på kendskabet til øllet, da BBC forleden bragte et radioindslag om vores øl. Reaktioner fra hele verden tyder på, at budskabet er.
Ja, det var bare for at lyse til dagen. Altså, sorry, I'm speaking Danish, it's very early in the morning. Just to wrap it up, that sort of taking back the, I mean, just in the same way as you could say the field of commercial culture is using strategies coming from the art world, you can also sort of strike back, like appropriating products and strategies coming from this world. So I think this would be the end. Thanks.